Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah, I know there's really no point in taking vacation anymore.
No, you're first one. You're going to be the first one in on vacation.
But here's the thing. There's nowhere to go. What do you do? No, there's nowhere to go.
See, I think it's going to go the other way. I was talking to people the other day about, I think like all these fancy resorts in Hollywood or in Hawaii and in Puerto Rico, and they're going to have to get their business back, and there are going to be people. Well, let's dive into it this way. And by the way, we have optimism abound today.
Optimism, enthusiasm, positivity.
We have many reasons to believe that we are going to get sports back, and we'll cover those throughout the show. Andrew Siciliano, our buddy from the NFL Network, coming up at 3:15. Bob Nightingale, who wrote an article yesterday about an actual plan that would put the Angels, Dodgers, and Astros all in the same division.
Same division, baby.
We're going to talk to Bob about that at 4. But, you know, Mace, I said to Lisa the other day that if the city and the state of California lift like restaurant restrictions on May 15th, I want to go to a restaurant on May 16th. Lisa said not so fast. She thinks she wants to wade in slowly. Where are you on that?
You know, it's kind of like one of those things where I want to support restaurants, but maybe I want to do it by taking away, takeout as opposed to necessarily.
Yeah, but I'm doing that now.
Going in and sitting down. I'm not sure. I mean, there's some things I'd be willing to do, like retail stuff. I'd be willing to walk into a store if I wanted to buy something. That would be good.
Retail stores were you using before the pandemic?
Grocery store and the drugstore.
Okay, yeah. I think everybody
those are the
naturally
two that I've been using.
Now. A few things have changed.
Yeah.
But, you know, retail was already heading the other way before the pandemic.
Yeah,
most people were ordering online.
It was. You know, and I mean, we're taking it to an extreme out of the proverbial abundance of caution. I've been outside the house, I mean, aside from walking the dogs, twice in the last 5 weeks now. Twice went to the pharmacy, both times wearing a mask, and that's it. You've gotten out a little bit. You played a round of golf this weekend.
Yeah, that was my first time outside of Manhattan Beach in 5.5 weeks, and I'm doing it. I'm going to a different place in Ventura County this Sunday. But that'll be my only two ventures out of Manhattan Beach.
And Orange County is opening their golf courses.
That's not true. I've been to my my mom's house 3 or 4 times just to go down there and say hi. I haven't gone in, but I've like did the wave outside the window thing. So that's at least you get to drive your car a little bit.
Yeah, you get to drive a little bit, exactly. And boy, you get everywhere really fast. You want to drive across town, just drive across town. It's easy.
I did not hit any traffic whatsoever.
None at all.
I went 59 miles in 1 hour.
Yep. Now, John, you know, I've been sort of light at the tunnel guy here for a while. I've been riding this. Come on. Look, it's starting to happen. It's starting to move. We're getting there. I feel like it's coming back. And today you appear to have caught that optimism.
Well, I think that particularly if you look at the whole board, there are reasons to believe that we're going to get sports back. Well, first of all, there are some individual sports that are coming back already. Like golf comes back on June 11th.
Are they doing that whole Tiger Phil thing? Is that this weekend?
Memorial Day weekend.
Memorial Day weekend. Okay, because I saw odds come through for that.
Golf's coming back. I mean, but the big four, the football, basketball, baseball, hockey, everyone, you know, you got guys like Bill Plachke saying, dead for 2020.
Dead.
Zero.
Dead.
Chance.
It's over.
Who'd we have? Clinton Yates. Dead. Clinton.
Dead.
No sports. Get used to it.
Not happening.
I actually like Nightingale's plan. I'm encouraged by it. More people.
By the way, and his plan is not just his made-up plan. His plan was based on conversations with three sources within Major League Baseball who didn't want to be identified. But it wasn't just like a totally, hey, I've got an idea. It was like, no, this is legitimately being discussed.
And I think what is starting to happen is the sentiment to reopen is finally starting to get past the sentiment to stay closed. Like for most of the month of April, everybody was preaching caution. stay closed. Now, all politicians are, for the most part, because they, you know, they treat this as a political issue. And if the pandemic was to break out and come back, they don't want it on their record. And then other politicians roll the dice the other way. They say, no, I want it on my record that I'm the first one that opened up. But now what you're seeing is doctors like Dr. Fauci. And that's, and Mace, to be honest, that's who the sports are listening to.
Yeah.
The sports will say, you know, we're paying attention to our elected officials. Who they're really listening to are the doctors.
Yeah.
And if you listen, like Dr. Fauci came out today, there's one drug that he feels that's been in a test that is working, about a 30% improvement in cure
rates. Yeah, that one from Gilead was the name of the drug company that came out today and has shown promise. There was an Oxford University study that came out of Great Britain that showed promising results for a vaccine in trial. So there are also, on the medical front, reasons to be optimistic.
And if you listen to doctors when they talk about sports, Dr. Fauci has been encouraging other doctors. The guy that was on Bill Maher Friday night said, the guy in New York who's in the middle of it says, we are starting to get to a point where maybe the higher risk people, particularly older people, still continue to shelter at home, but we explore putting others back to work. Now, I don't necessarily think there's going to be fans. I don't necessarily think it's going to be what we're used to. But I think we are. I think people are determined to get people back to work, and I think sports feels they can play a leadership role in that. And I'd be willing to bet a large amount of mythical money.
Nice.
That we are going to have the major sports back in the 2020 calendar year.
Me too.
I do not agree with Bill Plachke. I think he will have to write a massive retraction. What those guys will hide behind is, well, it's not real sports. It's the whole NBA is in one place. But I don't care. Give us any form of games that we can watch and some competitive sports. And I think that helps heal the country. And Mace, I don't know what it is. I woke up today. I do what I always do. I read a bunch of articles. I'm reading opinions of, and again, the guys I pay attention to the most are medical people.
Yeah.
And I just think that the tide is turning towards getting sports back in a responsible way. And I always, you know, if you listen to this show, you know, I'm always preaching the Korean baseball organization, the KBO, they're starting up next week in stadiums with no fans. But if they have a good experience, I think we follow the lead and let's go. Game on.
Yeah. And I think the most optimistic plan that's out there, we'll talk to Bob Nightingale about it at the top of the 4 o'clock hour.
Right.
He seems like the guy, or baseball seems like the one that is the most, I mean, at least according to what Nightingale has written, the one that's the most aggressive, suggesting late June, early July. Which would be fantastic. Now, it would require, I'm guessing that would mean spring training. They think they need 3 weeks. Spring training would start late June, early July. But hell, I'll take that, man. Give me some baseball in the air. Give me some NBA playoff action. Even the golf thing. You know how I feel about golf, John. I'm a huge golf fan. My life revolves around the game of golf, both playing it and watching it. Even the Tiger versus Phil with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady thing seems interesting to me about right now. We are excited about a documentary. The average sports fan is all wrapped up in a documentary right now, a great one. But who would have thought that would have happened in a normal world where there was sports going on, where we were in the middle of the NBA playoffs or we were in the middle of baseball season? Would The Last Dance be having the impact that it's actually having?
No, zero chance. But it'd still be good. It'd still be popular.
Still be fantastic. But right now it's like what we live for every week.
And I think then look at the results of when they occasionally do a live sporting event. The WNBA draft up 130%. The NFL draft up 400%. You know,
yep.
Like people are interested in They want a diversion. They want a chance to talk about sports. I mean, the majority of people that are affected by this are healthy. The majority of people. Some of them might even have COVID, but they don't have any symptoms. So they want, you know, I think getting back to what we do and how we consume sports is going to be a major turning point for this country, and I think we're going to get it.
This portion of the show brought to you by Alignment Healthcare, changing healthcare one person at a time. The other thing that came out today, which is interesting and weird in sort of a timing way, is that the NCAA is changing its rules about players being able to endorse products maybe as soon as 2021-2022, which would be 1 year from right now. The Board of Governors has approved this recommendation. Under the recommendation, student-athletes could receive income for third-party endorsements as well as social media opportunities, other business ventures, and personal appearances that fall within certain guidelines. So I'm not sure how that's going on. They're having a meeting of the Board of Governors in the middle of all this, and they reach that conclusion that that college athletes would be able to do endorsements, which only makes sense to me. It is the intermediate step to paying athletes is to allow them to do endorsements. And it's a smart move that has been a long time coming.
All right. I wanted you to get all that out of your system so I can make this point again. The NCAA is old. They're archaic. They are so behind the times, it's ridiculous. They are reactive. They're never proactive. The fact that all these high school basketball players are now going to the G League rather than taking a four-year free ride is a direct result of the NCAA sitting in their ivory tower and saying, oh, we are higher education and we're not competing with anyone else. Of course you're competing with everyone else. And I think I've said it a million times, the NCAA should be abolished. They're the worst organization in all of
sports. Why do you put more emphasis on, and I know your feelings of the NCAA, and by the way, I think the Enforcement Committee is an absolute joke. I think the Rules Committee is an absolute joke. What I always defend is the $3 billion in scholarships that they hand out. But why don't you blame the right party for the college basketball NBA issue? It's really the NBA's rule that has screwed up college basketball. It's
disagree.
When the NBA put in the one and done rule, that's what screwed it up. The college basketball was totally satisfied and happy with the idea of, hey, if you're in high school and you can go to the NBA, go to the NBA. You don't need college. It was the NBA that changed that rule, not college basketball.
You're focused on the tree. I'm looking at the forest. What I'm talking about is, if you're the NCAA,
right? But you're focused on this
are you gonna let me
league
talk?
Plan. Sure, go ahead. Just go, okay. Go talk. Yeah, fine.
The whole point is this. The NCAA is in the business of college sports. They want to attract as many kids as possible to participate in college sports. That's it. The point you always make that they give away $3 billion in scholarships, we could find another vehicle for that. What the NCAA doesn't understand is that when there are people that are 17 and 18 years old graduating from high school, they have options. The NCAA should be creating rules and creating vehicles that make it attractive for a kid to go to UCLA in comparison to turning pro, or make it attractive for a kid that's a music major to go and study and get a degree rather than go right to work for a record company. And of course, Mace, they should have been paying these guys. A long time ago, they should have been paying them. And a long time ago, they should have said, if you can generate your own sponsorship opportunities and sell your name and likeness, go for it. Instead, they sat there and said, no, we're higher education. It's beneath us to taint this amateurism by allowing guys to make money. It's ridiculous. The NCAA is a backwards-thinking organization, and what they're doing now is they're finally realizing, oh, we have to let these people go ahead and do this thing, which they should have been able to do 20 years ago. So you can come back at me all the time and say, oh, no, no, it's the NBA. The NBA issue about players going one and done is one small part of the problem. What I'm talking about is let any college kid who wants to go to work and play sports. Let them choose their lame and nikedness, no matter what sport they play. And then the NCAA has a competitive product. Until they do that, they're just a joke. That was my case.
Excellent. Andrew Siciliano is next, 710 ESPN. Yeah, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? It is Wednesday. I had to look down and actually check and see what day it is. It is
I've done that three times this week.
Wednesday. It is declared Wednesday. There's all kinds of good stuff floating around, including the Sports Business Journal has written an article that suggests a bunch of things about potentially the NFL and a way that it could come back. And whenever we think NFL, we think Andrew Siciliano, and he joins us now. Andrew, how you doing, man?
I am surviving, guys. I'm grateful for health and grateful to be working and, of course, grateful to be speaking to both of you and grateful to remember what day it is.
Amen to all the above.
Last night, yeah, from my second bedroom, from my guest bedroom, I started the show and I said, welcome to the Tuesday, I think, edition.
We know how you feel, my friend. And Andrew, I thought that I know it was a joint effort between the NFL Network, where you do a lot of work, and ESPN. But I thought the draft, considering the obstacles they were up against, was spectacular. I thought they did such a good job. I think I read somewhere they had like 180 remotes that they were responsible for. And for them to have the limited technical problems that they had was pretty outstanding. But here's my question. I actually think that seeing guys with their families, seeing people in their homes, and the reaction to when they get drafted is way cooler and way more fun to watch than seeing a guy get up at the draft. Will that element change in the future? Do you think they, in essence, out of necessity, stumbled into a better way to do things moving forward?
I think they did. I think a lot's going to change. But I think it's going to be a mix moving forward. So there's going to be a green room and a red carpet, assuming we're back to somewhat of a normal world. And I think a lot, you know, they deserve it. You know this from the NBA draft. These guys have worked their whole life. There's nothing wrong with getting dressed up and having mom and dad there and putting on a nice suit and, you know, and rolling out the red carpet literally and figuratively for the biggest moment of your life. But at the same time, the draft is human and everyone felt it, from dogs and kids to the family to Roger wearing a T-shirt on Saturday. It just felt different. And you already, John, have had so many people say exactly what you said, is why can't we at least have a mix? So if you have 20 people in the green room, or 20 would-be first-rounders, 30, whatever, in the green room, and then you put a camera in the homes of 100 other players who will get drafted on Friday and Saturday, then I think we're all better for it. The better question, or the bigger question, is what about team executives? Bob Quinn of the Lions came out a couple of days ago, and he said that he needs to re-examine, and this has caused him to do that, his work-life balance. And maybe he doesn't have to be sleeping on the couch at his office at the team facility every night in the pre-draft months, and that maybe it's better to be at home. And I had John Lynch on the show yesterday, and I told him of Quinn's comments, and he said that he and Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers have already discussed it, that next year they're going to tell their coaches and their scouts after the season, get all your work done, but go home for 2 weeks. Go see your family. Like, get out of here. We need this family time, and we'll be fine. Don't worry. We'll survive.
And we've talked about this a bunch on the show. You know, we're used to sending a camera crew out somewhere and being able to have reporters in different locations. You know, increasingly now, Skype is good enough. Like, Zoom is good enough. The bar has gotten a little bit lower. And I think ultimately it's going to give us more access to more people more quickly. We were talking about the Last Dance special, which is on Sunday nights on ESPN, and the fact that the next morning we had Isaiah Thomas on Get Up, and we had Bill Laimbeer on The Jump, and we didn't have to send a camera crew anywhere, and they didn't have to go to a studio anywhere, and we had more instantaneous reaction. I think there are going to be some long-lasting effects on the way we cover sports from this COVID-19 crisis.
I spoke to a team executive, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, who used to work on the network TV side, who went, production value is dead. I mean, who cares? Just get on this.
He's right.
Yeah. He's totally right. And even, look, we, whether it's ESPN, NFL Network, CNN, whatever, all these networks, we've been able to put on streaming interviews for a while now, but there had always been a reluctance. Like, hey, we could get you player X coming up tomorrow, but it's got to be FaceTime. And then you go, can we wait until Wednesday when you can actually get in front of a real camera? And unless it's an emergency, you didn't do it. Now nobody cares. We're over it. Just get the person on the air, get the story out there, and it's real, it's human, it's in the moment, and I don't think anyone cares anymore.
Well, we're talking to our friend Andrew Siciliano. For those of you who don't know, Andrew, besides being the host of the Red Zone channel every week on DirecTV, which is a job no one else could do except him, and he does it brilliantly, he is the pregame play-by-play guy, or the preseason, beg your pardon, play-by-play guy for the Rams, and has been for several years, does all the Rams preseason games. Andrew, as you know, Mace is a Rams season ticket holder. I watch every Ram game. Are you surprised they went offense with their first two picks in the draft? They had the two picks in the second round, and they took Cam Akers, the running back, out of Florida State, and then they took Jefferson, the receiver, out of Florida. They lost a ton of people on defense. Defense seemed to be their biggest need. They took two offensive guys. Did that surprise you?
Yes and no. I think it was less surprising after some people that they had potentially targeted came off the board on somewhat surprisingly, let's put it that way, on Thursday. They certainly were two players where you could say they have a need, especially running back with Cam Akers. Van Jefferson, you probably could have said wide receiver wasn't of paramount importance. But like you, John, coming into the draft, I said you got to address linebacker. You probably have to address safety. You have to address, you know, the myriad of holes that are now there on defense. Maybe O-line. To me, that was less of a priority because I think they had faith and they hope that Nopu and Allen can get back from injuries and that they found something with the two guys they drafted last year. But it kind of reminded me of the old Bugs Bunny commercial years ago. Not commercial, but the old Bugs Bunny. Like, first base, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny. Third base. Like, Aaron Donald can't play all 11 positions. Nor Jalen Ramsey. They're not to downplay his contributions. I 3 weeks ago, yes. The short answer, I thought those two picks would be defense.
They did take a linebacker with the third pick, and he was a guy, Terrell Lewis from Alabama, who a lot of people felt the Rams might have taken in the second round and fell to him in the third round. And then they went safety, so they did address defense with their next two picks. But I, you know, as a Rams fan, part of me says, yeah, hooray, man, I love to watch them score. And the other side says, I still like to stop some people. How would you view this draft overall in terms of success for the Rams?
So I am going to, and it's going to sound like I'm a team spokesman here, Steve. It's so difficult to judge these things, even though we will give you draft grades presented by whomever on every show. I think Cam Akers could be offensive rookie of the year if everything goes well. I mean, I'm not predicting that, but he's one of those guys as a second round running back. You look at the history of second round running backs, you plug him in and they've had a lot of big success of late. Terrell Lewis has huge potential. We had him in Mobile at the Senior Bowl for NFL Network, and you look at the number of games he played, and you go, wait a minute, like, hold on, like, what am I missing here? And then you see him perform during practice during the week when it's best of the best against the best against the best. And you go, okay, I get it now. So he's one of those ones that has such a high ceiling. This could be one of those drafts where you get immediate impact, or it could be one where it might take a couple of years. The Bryson Hopkins pick, for example. Bryson Hopkins is not going, you would have to think, behind Everett and Higbee do much this year. But in 3 years, Bryson Hopkins could be your starter putting up huge numbers. So it's so difficult to figure these things out right now.
Mason sees the Rams as a 9 or 10 win team. I don't think they're that good. I think he's probably a game or two high. What do you think?
So I think there's going to be a second wave of free agency. The roster, and Les Snead said this last week, the roster on opening day, whenever opening day is not what it looks like right now. I think their biggest challenge is the NFC West is getting better. The Niners got younger. Remains to be seen if they got better. The Cardinals certainly got better. Russell Wilson's still going to will that team to victory until proven otherwise. The Rams did have the best record of any team in the NFL last year that did not make the postseason. And under the new playoff guidelines, they would have made the postseason last year. Don't know if they would have won, but they would have made it. I still think this can be a 9-win team. I still think 9 wins can get you in. But, you know, the Cardinals are no longer a pushover, and the Niners certainly aren't, or the Seahawks certainly aren't. It will not be an easy road.
So you knew we were going to get to this. You're on the inside. When is the NFL coming back?
Don't know. I do know that Brian McCarthy, league spokesman, made a point today of answering a fan. I think it seemed to be a somewhat intentional tweet. He answered a fan who had tweeted at him about the schedule release, and he said it is still very much in play and on schedule, if you will, for sometime late next week. So what's that schedule going to look like is the big question. Will it be, and I think many people will speculate, I stress this is speculation, that the front part of the schedule will have your interconference games. The games that, if they need to be canceled or postponed, or if the schedule needs to be shortened, are the ones that you can get rid of the easiest. You get your division games and your conference games later in the season. The NFL, I will say, and we all know this, has the benefit of playing the long game right now. We're still 4.5 months out. They can see what the NBA does or the NHL does or baseball does and sit back and say, we have no idea what the world will look like in 4.5 months. Just like, honestly, guys, we have no idea what the world will look like in 4.5 days from now. The question is, can you sell tickets to those games right now? And can you look at anyone could put a schedule out with an asterisk tentative, you know,
yeah.
The schedule doesn't mean anything, but can you sell tickets to those games? And I think that is maybe the more important question to whether or not we can do a show and say, hey, the Rams are going to play the Niners week 3. Great. What does that mean?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what, like, preseason games are a question mark, and when camps open, so you actually gave the right answer is, I don't know. Yeah, nobody knows for
sure.
I think we're going to get it.
They don't know. And I know this sounds like such a cop, but like the NBA. Like the NBA can't give you an answer right now, right?
Yep.
Nobody can do it.
Maybe we're going to have 3 baseball divisions with 10 teams each. And they're going to play in a bubble. So, like we don't know. But is the long game for the NFL, or for that matter, for college football, is great. It gives them more time. But I don't know that anyone is certain that even in 3 months we'll have a better idea. So everything is tentatively scheduled. But they have made it this far, and they say that they're still going to push forward, which makes sense. But, yeah, John, the preseason's in doubt. I mean, who knows? You'd have to think it's in doubt, at least.
All right. Andrew, thank you for doing this. Stay safe. You guys killed it in the draft. Well done.
Yeah, it was great, Andrew.
Thank you, guys. And I want you to know I'm not often in my car, but when I am,
excellent.
I put you on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. There's Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network.
That's where the audience went. They were all in their cars, and now we got to, they got to listen to us on those smart speakers.
Smart speakers, exactly. All you got to do is say, hey, smart speaker. They have different names. Alexa. Oh, no, I just turned on my Alexa.
Alexa, play Mason in Ireland.
That's all you need to do. Exactly. All right. Coming up next, Woj was on. Oh, actually, no. Instead of doing that, Clayton Kershaw spoke yesterday about optimism regarding Major League Baseball. We got that coming up for you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. That's right. This is your afternoon show. It's International Dance Day.
Really?
John, how fine a day. Actually, I don't even need to ask that question.
I'm an excellent dancer.
All I need to look at is there's some Instagram video of you somewhere dancing to Aloe Black at the Michael Thompson Family Foundation event
last spring. I was very drunk at that event, and I may never forgive my friend Ben Lyons for outing me to the world. So while I was dancing and getting into the spirit of the event, Ben was filming me and sending it out over the internet.
Not a fine dancer.
Yeah, but still, I mean, now next time I'm going to be like inhibited.
This will be unusual for me. I'm a terrible dancer. I will come right out and say it. I'm a terrible dancer. Terrible.
I doubt that's true.
Terrible. I did not get that gene.
How should one celebrate International Dance Day? I haven't seen much on this today.
It's a good question. Lindsay put it on the prep sheet. Lindsay, how are we supposed to celebrate International Dance Day?
What time is the dance party, Lindsay?
I think you have to do like a Zoom dance party or something.
A Zoom dance party is not my speed.
I was going to say you got to do a TikTok, but you don't have Momo to do the TikTok with.
No,
so maybe he's got to do one solo.
Momo's got control of the TikTok. Yeah, I don't have... I should download the TikTok and do a TikTok video. John, why don't you download the TikTok? You know, we're all about cheering people up, John. Why don't you download TikTok and do a dance on TikTok?
Not happening. I, as you know, you are the millennial on the show. You have InstaFace and you have
Belichick.
TikTok.
Yeah.
And you have I'm not even on Facebook. I mean, you know, that's your department.
Well, Facebook's for old people.
But aren't you on it?
Sure, I'm on it. It's there. I don't use it a whole bunch. I use IG way more.
So you're on Instagram.
And Twitter.
You're on TikTok.
Yeah, Ramona's got my TikTok account. We put out two videos.
So you're not
two
embracing
damn good
TikTok?
Videos. Yeah, no, probably won't see me. Are you on TikTok, Lindsay? Lindsay?
I have it so I could watch your guys' videos.
And do you watch it?
No, I honestly actually see more TikTok videos on like Instagram and Twitter than I do on. I don't
totally
really log
the
into
same.
TikTok. Yeah.
I see TikTok videos on Instagram, so I don't really need TikTok. All right, so Clayton Kershaw was on SportsCenter. This was last night, talking about optimism about a baseball season.
I've been figuring out a little bit, and, you know, I kind of think we're going to come back. I really do, and I'm optimistic about that. And, you know, I'm kind of preparing like we're going to be back in July at some point. I have no basis for that. It's just kind of what I feel. And so I'm kind of working off of that, and I really do. I feel optimistic about it and, you know, just trying to keep that optimism going.
You know, there was a game 5 years ago in Baltimore. The city was rioting. So they decided to keep all the fans out. And so a bunch of people wrote articles today about what that's like. And it's weird, but it's baseball.
Yeah.
I think we would take it.
Sure.
It's not like it hasn't been done before.
Here's Kersh, by the way, on not wanting to be away from his family.
I think any plan right now is, you know, it's just that it's a plan and nobody really has an answer for anything. But, you know, I think baseball players want to play. You know, we want to play. We miss the game. We want to be out there. But we also, you know, we don't want to be away from our families for 4 or 5 months quarantined in a hotel. So I think there's probably a happy medium that we can get to where everybody is satisfied with the safety of, you know, ourselves, our families, the fans and everybody else. And also gets to play baseball. And that's, you know, there's a lot of people smarter than me figuring that out right now. So I'm thankful for that.
So I wanted to, and I think that that's going to be an issue. The family thing is going to be an issue. That's why when we talked to Bob Nightingale at the top of the hour from USA Today, who wrote about this three-division proposal that is being talked about within Major League Baseball, all of that involves games in home stadiums, not necessarily with fans in attendance, but games in home stadiums. I want to talk about the elephant in the room, John, if that's okay.
What is that? Which is what?
First segment of the show, we got into a fight.
What are you talking about?
Let's be honest. We got into a fight. A lot of people reacting on the Twitter, and even some people who work for the station have texted me and said, what's going on with you in Ireland today?
Okay. This is a disconnect between me and you that has been going on for 20 years.
Okay.
You think that was a fight? This is like, you thought Adam Schefter was rude when he was on the show.
He was
like,
rude.
You're 100%
rude.
Convinced. You thought when Russell Westbrook came in, he was rude, and you'll never have him on the show again.
He was a jerk, yeah.
I just think people, this happens every day. I mean, it was... So I was mad you weren't letting me talk. So I said, are you going to let me talk? And you let me talk, and it's over. Why to you is it not over?
Because I keep getting text messages.
I have zero. Not one tweet, not one text. Morales is already, I know he's one of them, because he loves to look for fights.
Oh, sure. No, one of them is not Morales. One of them is Tommy Lamb. Did you guys wake up on the wrong side of the bed today?
So Tommy thinks we're in a fight.
Tommy thinks we're in a fight.
Yeah, if we were in a real
fight. Who won the fight? That's what I want to know. Who won it?
I didn't.
Because, you know, it's important to me to win.
Okay. You did win because I didn't even think it was a fight. So not only am I glad to accept the loss,
yes.
I wasn't actually sure what we were competing over.
Yeah, there was Lindsay, did you not ask us at break if everything was okay? Lins?
I think she's
sorry,
on the phone.
I was on the phone with the IT guy.
Didn't you ask us at break if everything was okay?
I did. I just said, are you guys all right over there? Because you were getting a little heated at each other. Especially when Ireland, of all people, has to say, can I talk? You know there's a problem.
Right, because I'm normally the one who talks the most.
Yeah. That was my only question.
But no,
yeah.
Mace, you're consistently like this. You look for conflict, and then you say, oh, God, we'll never have Adam Schefter on again. He was miserable.
I thought he was a jerk.
I think if you ask Adam Schefter and put him on a lie detector and say, was anything about that interview you did on Mason and Ireland unusual, confrontational, or do you feel like you might have been short with them or come off a jerk in any way, he would go, what are you talking
about?
But,
I mean, so you know social media said the opposite.
Social media does. Like, for example,
Twitter said the opposite before I even could say anything.
Okay, but in this case, so you got one text from Tommy Lamb.
Yep.
And Lindsay said something. Nobody literally has said anything to me. I didn't even think that was a conflict.
Wait. You want to know a secret? The reason why I even really noticed it was a conflict or something that raise the red flag was because of a text from Tommy. So maybe this is all a big conspiracy.
Think it's Tommy?
This is Tommy Lamb creating a conflict.
Oh, that
and it's me creating a segment.
Ha! And it worked.
It absolutely worked.
We got a break. Yeah, but it's weird that you'll admit you do this. You'll go, God, I'm terrible on the show today. And Lindsay and I will look at each other and go, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So far I think I've been terrible on the show.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's because of the big fight. It's about the big knockdown dragout in the first segment of the show. There was a big knockdown dragout fight at the beginning of the show.
But you won the fight.
I won, which is good, but I'd rather it be a draw. I think it's better if it's a tie and we go home friends. That's the most important thing.
All right,
Make it a tie and go home friends.
I hate to break this to you. We're still friends.
All right, there you go. There you go. So, Tommy, don't worry about it.
Nice try.
Yeah.
But your attempt to break us up failed.
Yeah. All right. It will take more than that to break us up.
Yeah, it would take Mike Glickenhaus to break us up.
Exactly. Coming up, Bob Kuntz is actually what it will take to break us up, and Larry Gifford. All right. Coming up for you at the top of the hour, we will have Bob Nightingale with us. He's got the baseball plan that three people inside the game, unnamed sources, have talked to him about for resuming, not resuming, for starting a baseball season. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, no, the station just tweeted out, and I have retweeted, John Ireland's
moves. Oh, you just haven't. We're back in a fight now.
I said
you said it. You said International Dance Day is canceled due to my lack of moves. That's disrespectful. Okay, Tommy Lamb, it worked. We now are in a fight.
The war is on. This could be the last show. Yeah, I just say let's do a show where it's all low blows. Let's do a show where it's all us taking low blows at each other. You know, we have this thing called Under the Hat. This is something that was invented years ago. Was that something you invented?
Wait a minute, though. Now that you're out, is there anything that's really under the hat?
Juan's actual name is under the hat.
Yeah, but that I wouldn't do that because I like him.
Yeah.
I mean,
but I don't think there's anything that involves
me and you. I don't think that there is anything that, like, we would kill. There used to be stuff that we would kill the other guy if he said it on the air. I think that those have all just basically dissolved over time.
Yeah.
But
I don't think there is anything. Boy, especially not since that podcast we did.
Well, now, how's that doing? Is it still at the top of the
charts? Top of the charts. Tony Dalton is second, and I have a feeling it's going to be overtaken by Ray Sehorn, who I interviewed this morning and is absolutely fantastic, who plays Kim Wexler on Better Call Saul. So you may finally be displaced from the top of the charts.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind being displaced by any of them. I love that show.
She's great. She's great. That'll complete the trifecta: Michael Mando, Tony Dalton, and Ray Sehorn.
Well, no, you can't
get Odin Kirk.
Well, wait. You don't give up. They have a next season.
True. Oh no.
And Cranston,
I just think for this run,
Cranston could get you Odin Kirk one day.
Oh yeah.
So you know, don't give up.
No. Coming up for you at the top of the hour, Bob Nightingale is going to join us. In the meantime, I want to ask you about this Steve Kerr thing. This is what Steve Kerr said. I don't know if we played this on the show. This is what Steve Kerr said about the idea of the Lakers wanting to get back to the gym. Whoa, John, get up.
I think Steve Kerr's comments to start there, Greeny, I think sounded more like a preference or a hope that they don't have anything to play for. And there are a lot of teams in that boat who aren't going to be in the playoffs, who are in the lottery, who the few regular season games you might play in a resumption of the season don't really carry value to the players, the coaches. I think teams who have younger rosters would like to get some, almost treat it like kind of a summer league mini camp, but the league still is forging on, trying to find a way to get there. You know, the Lakers, other teams would like to be able to get back in their gyms on a very limited startup basis. And, you know, these workouts would be just voluntary workouts, players no more than four at a time in the gym, just getting a ball back in their hands, having a basket to shoot at, and that's where we are right now. It's a very long way from a legitimate resumption of play, and that's still something that is very much up in the air for the league.
Okay, so I would have no problem if they didn't make the Warriors play anymore.
No, me too.
Did you just J.A. Adonde just dug up video of you? You, by the way, you are incorrect. You're not a bad dancer. He found some YouTube clip of you dancing with Clipper Girls back when you were a Clipper fan, doing Soulja Boy, and you have way more rhythm than I do.
Yeah, no, it's actually...
You're doing Soulja Boy?
I'm doing Soulja Boy.
It's dated. I didn't say it wasn't dated.
It's very dated. It's from 2007.
If clearly you're asking who's a better dancer, it's you.
Oh, you know what? This would go well on TikTok.
There you go. You should put it on there.
Yeah. I can't believe Jay Adonde, of all people, dug that up. How would he even know that exists?
I don't know. But he just remembered it from back in the day when you used to do it. You know, Adande's very respected now. He's like head of the journalism program at Northwestern's grad school.
I know. And he's also all over the Last Dance.
Well, he worked there for a while. Him and Wilbon, both, you know, Wilbon's from Chicago, and Adande worked in Chicago around that time before he came to L.A. But this answers the question. I waved the white flag. I'm thinking that this, you do not come up, like, this could have been much worse.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Had I done it, it would have been much worse.
It could have been much worse, yeah. Although I will say that a little bit of rehearsal went into that. Now, you used to do musicals. Didn't you know how to dance when you were doing musicals,
no,
Broadway,
John? No, I just sang.
Really? In The Sound of Music, you didn't do any
dance
moves?
Think about it. Colonel Von Trapp does not dance.
That's true. Is that who you played? I thought you played one of the kids.
I'd be happy to play. I can do all the parts, as you know. Including any song.
Any
when I'm
song.
With her, I'm confused, out of focus and bemused, and I never know exactly where I stand. Unpredictable as weather, she's as flighty as a feather. She's a demon, she's an angel, she's a lamb. She will pester any pest, fight a hornet from its nest. She will throw a whirling dervish out of whirl. She is gentle, she is kind, she is timid, she is shy. She's an angel, she's a demon, she's a girl. How do you solve a problem like Maria? Now that's a nun part.
That's the nun.
Yeah, I could play a nun.
You could probably do the Climb Every Mountain song.
I could do, but that song's boring.
Isn't that the Big Finish?
Yeah, but that's and it's done by a female opera singer. That's no good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Broadway John, I'm telling you. The first thing you do when you get to New York, go to a Broadway show. Now, I have not been to New York in a while. You get to go more often than I do because you get to go with the Lakers. But,
right.
Man,
I've seen
a show
every year for the last five.
I love them Broadway shows.
As I've told you, the one I went to this year, I saw a guy in this play that I went to Jagged Little Pill, the Alanis Morissette musical, and he looks exactly like you.
Yeah, that's right. You sent me that picture.
Matter of fact, I will tweet that picture out because I think it will blow people away how much this guy looks like you. I thought I was being punked. I started looking around the theater wondering if somebody had pulled a fast one on me, and it was actually you singing on stage. But it was just
crazy.
A guy who looks like you.
Yep, definitely looks like me. All right, coming up next for you is Bob Nightingale with the aforementioned plan to bring baseball back in the 3-10-team division recipe. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.